he's going to share with us this morning. Let's just pray for Tony as he comes. Thanks, Tony. Lord God, we just thank you so much for Tony and Jilly. We thank you so much for all that they have shared with the leaders on Thursday and even more, and with so many more of us on Saturday also. Lord God, we thank you for their ministry and how they have been introducing people and creating spaces for people to meet afresh with the shepherd. So as Tony now shares with us from this beautiful psalm, we pray the anointing of the shepherd upon him. Yes. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. Ever since Ken and Helen moved here to this place called Dollingstown, I thought that is a fantastic name for a place. I would love to visit Dollingstown. It's a very charming name. And so I'm delighted to be here today in Dollingstown. That's lovely. But I hope you people here believe in the supernatural. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Because you need a miracle this morning. Let me tell you why. Simon's asked me to speak on Psalm 23 today. I just spent two whole days talking about Psalm 23. So I've got about 5 hours of material. And Simon's given me 15 minutes. So you know when Jesus took the bread and the fish and multiplied it and fed 5,000 people, that's called a miracle of multiplication. Today we need a miracle of simplification. We've got to go the other way around and get 5 hours into 15 minutes. If that happens, you've seen a miracle today. So, yeah, I want to just share some little thoughts on Psalm, this lovely Psalm 23. Nothing complicated, just something very simple. But just to remind you, first of all, that that headline in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack for nothing. I will want for nothing. I will have everything that I need." It's a wonderful declaration that I think came out of David. This is David's psalm, David the shepherd boy. It came out of his own understanding of who God was. An understanding that was formed and shaped as he had been a shepherd boy on the hills outside his home, and where he had begun to understand that God cared for him in the way that he cared for his sheep. That God was a shepherd who would be looking after us and guiding us, protecting us, providing for us. And so in his mind he had this picture of a God, a loving God, a merciful, compassionate God, who was a shepherd. And to the people of Israel that became their number one way of thinking about God. How we think about God is really important. And if you have the right idea of God, then you can build a relationship with him according to who he is. And God has shown himself throughout the Bible, in fact, to be a shepherd God, a God who knows us and cares for us and with whom we can have this deep personal relationship. We can say the Lord is my shepherd. But if that is true, that the Lord is a shepherd, the second thing is true is this, that we are his sheep. That's part of this analogy, this illustration. And again, the Psalms say, we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. That's who we are. So David is thinking, yes, God is like a shepherd, but we, his people, are like sheep. Now that might be a flattering kind of picture, or it might not be so flattering. Because the third thing that's true is this, that sheep have a tendency to go astray. They are not the cleverest of animals. And if sheep can find a way to get lost, they will find it. And sometimes not just one of them, but groups of them as well, because sheep tend to follow other sheep without thinking much about it. And so the prophet Isaiah says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there's something about the human heart, this perversity, that even we know this is the right way to go, we tend to go that way. Where I grew up in Yorkshire, we like to play Crown Green Bowls. Do you know what Crown Green Bowls is? It's a game really for older people, mostly. And you have these balls which you roll across the green, and the green is not flat, that's why it's called crown green. It's a kind of slight slope, but the balls themselves that they use, they're wooden, and apart from being quite heavy, they have a bias on one side. So you can't just roll them straight. No matter how you roll them, they'll either go to the right or to the left. You see, they have a bias to one direction, and the skill is to be able to judge how much turn you need on the ball. And it's like that in the human heart. You know, sometimes we'd like to go straight, we know what to do, but there is this tendency inside us, actually, not to go quite straight, but to go to the left or to go to the right, to go astray, in other words. It's part of our human nature. And sometimes we do the very things that we don't want to do, and we don't do the things that we ought to do. That's what the Bible means by sin. But when Jesus came into the world, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which had gone astray. And so he came and he took out this picture of the shepherd, and Jesus said to his followers, he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the perfect shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. And he went on to say, and the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He came to deal with that problem of waywardness that is in all our hearts in order to bring us back to God, and through his death provide forgiveness for us so that we could be reconnected with God and we would be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so in the Gospels, Jesus told a wonderful parable, really, about a shepherd who had 100 sheep in his flock. And one of them, just one, went astray, got lost. Didn't keep to the path, went off following their own direction. You maybe might think, well, if a shepherd has got 100 sheep, that means a quick calculation, he's got 99 left. Maybe he shouldn't bother about the one. Maybe to go following a sheep like that might put him in danger himself. And maybe he would think, well, it's okay, I've still got 99. But no, this shepherd, this good shepherd, pursues looking for that sheep until he finds it. And then when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulder and he brings it home rejoicing. That's the heart of the gospel, that Jesus, the good shepherd, looks for that which is lost. John 15 is a chapter with three things that have gone lost. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. And it's all saying the same thing, that really God looks for those who have got lost, who have gone astray, even a little, or sometimes a lot. It doesn't make any difference to God. The good shepherd's heart is to find the one who has gone astray. Now I want to tell you a little story, a true story, and it's a little bit embarrassing. So I hope you won't, don't tell anybody else this. I'm just telling you, this is just between us. Okay, it's confidential. Julie and I have only been married 6 months. 5 months, in fact. 5 months, in fact, yes. And we were brought together by a mutual friend. So soon after we got married, about 10 weeks to be exact, I can remember exactly, we met up with this friend and took her out for dinner to kind of celebrate together. And we were having a lovely meal in a nice restaurant in the New Forest near where we live, and just as the meal was coming to an end, I just had my hand on the table like that, and I looked at my hand and I'd lost my wedding ring was not there. I was really kind of startled. I thought, well, I haven't taken it off. I can't have left it at home. Whatever has happened to it? So I told Jilly and our friend, and the only place I'd been was to the toilet. So we got up and I went to the toilet. Maybe it had come off when I was washing my hands, and we looked in the sink and I couldn't find it. And I came back and said, it doesn't seem to be there. So Jilly said, I'll have a look. Now Jilly is really good at DIY. So she wasn't just going to have a brief look. She started dismantling dismantling the whole sink in this little gent's toilet. At which point the owner came in and we explained what we were doing. I'd lost my ring and we were just dismantling his toilet. Jilly got up and set off the fan heater thing, the blower, which made a huge noise, and Jilly's very sensitive to noise, so she leapt in the air screaming. I don't know what the owner thought was going on here, but we explained that we'd lost this wedding ring. But with all that, it wasn't there. So we looked all around, everywhere, and came back and sat a bit dejected. It really put a dampener on the meal, I have to say. And I was very disappointed in myself for losing the ring, and it cost a lot of money, and it meant a lot, obviously. Just as we were concluding the meal, a young man came out from the kitchens at the back, obviously somebody who was just working in the background, and he'd heard what had happened. And he came over to us and he said, I have a really good pair of eyes. I will look for your ring. Well, we thought that's very kind of him, but a bit pointless, really. We've looked. So we left him to do it, and he went looking around. 2 minutes later, he came back with the ring. He had found it. I don't know how he did it, but he found it. He found the ring. Oh, great relief. And here it is, it's still there. But I've had it resized now, it fits a bit more snugly. But what I want to say to you is, when you lose something that is really means something to you, and it's really valuable, and it's precious, and you don't want to lose it, you search until you find it. That young man had a good pair of eyes. We'd all looked, but we didn't see it. But somehow, he was right. He did have a good pair of eyes. And I want to say to you that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, never gives up. He keeps searching. Why? Because you and I, we are valuable to him. We are precious in his sight. He loves us dearly, and he doesn't want us to go astray. He wants to bring us back home. And he wants us to rejoice that we are part again of his family and his flock. He is the Good Shepherd. And today, if you have wandered, however lightly that may be, but you just know your heart is not really connecting with God as it used to do, as it could do, then you can just take that step back today, because the Good Shepherd has come looking for you today. But there may be some who you know, I have gone astray big time. You may be conscious of it, other people may not realize it, they may not know, but you know in your heart, in my heart, Lord, I have wandered far from you. Well, you can turn again. And the Good Shepherd is there to welcome you, to receive you, to forgive you, to include you again in his flock. And then you can say, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful thing that is to say, isn't it? To say with great assurance, to know personally, the Lord is my shepherd. And I wouldn't want any person here this morning to leave the service today without knowing that the Lord is your shepherd. You have that personal relationship with him, and you are closely connected with him. Don't be afraid to ask to speak to somebody, even today, if you just feel a prayer would be helpful in reconnecting with God. Let me pray for us now.
Father, we thank you for your presence here. And we thank you for us, the Good Shepherd. You see and you know everything about us, Lord. You know exactly where we are. You know if we've gone astray. You know if we've wandered away. You know if we're slightly disconnected. We thank you that you come in love, not judgment, not criticism, but you come in love to carry us back, to bring us back into the flock. I pray today, Lord, for every person here to have that wonderful, loving assurance that you are their shepherd and they are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. In Jesus' name, amen.